It's time for your afternoon praise on Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so sometimes we as Christians can be guilty of overcomplicating the simple message of the Bible, right? And so today we want to talk about important principles that can help us as we study the Bible. And to help us with that, we have Brother Sanile Gumede joining us to speak to us about how exactly we can do that. My brother, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Sisi. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for making time to speak with us. Now, let's get straight into it. Would you please share with us how we can better understand the Bible even as we study it? Do we need to enroll in theological seminary? Do we need to be pastors? Can we, as lay people, also understand the Bible?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, my sister. So I think when we go through what the lesson highlights for understanding the Bible, I think the first thing is that It's not a book that was written for a particular sect of people, but it was a book that was written for everybody to understand. It even says so itself. It speaks about the fact that the rich can understand it and poor can read and understand it. Mm-hmm. So regardless of who you are, the Bible, if we take it in the sense that it is the word of God, and we know that this in front of God, we are all equal. So as a result, we can all relate to God's word. And there are some principles that the lesson guides us that can help us to understand God's word.
All right, let's go through some of those. Well, how would you suggest that we can gain clarity and understand as we study?
No, for sure. So the first one says that the first principle of the seven says we should study the Bible with a prayerful heart. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what makes the Bible different from other books, like maybe your novels, you know, which maybe are fiction, and we read them for different purposes. Not that we are saying they are right or wrong, but I guess because the Bible is the word of God and it was written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it only makes sense that when we read the Bible, we must read it with a prayerful heart. Mm. So that's the first point. Having said that, I came across a very interesting text last week during the morning devotion, which is Matthew 13, verses 10 to 11. And this speaks about Jesus speaking in parables. Mm. And then the disciples coming to him in Matthew 13, verse 10, 11 says, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the crowds in parables? And Jesus replied to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. And maybe as a parting shot, when we go through the seven, my final words, you know, we'll just go through perhaps what that actually means as well. Yeah, and then the second one is the lesson says we must read the Bible daily, and we are taken to the church at Berea, which we are told in the book of Acts chapter 17 that when they heard what was preached to them, they went and studied their Bible to find out that, you know, was what they were told, was it true or not, you know? And we know, for instance, we say this thing probably, or we say this part of the prayer probably almost every day from Matthew 6, where we say, give us this day our daily bread,
yes,
you know? And we know in Matthew 4, verse 4, when Jesus was being tempted, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You know, so meaning that we must also treat the Bible as something that is essential for our survival, just as we treat food, which is very important. Yeah, you know? And some of us we may say, you know, God is quiet, God is silent, we pray to him. And I think also when we take the Bible as the word of God, therefore when we read the Bible prayerfully, so we can hear God speaking to us for every situation that we face.
Yes.
Yeah. And then moving on to the third point, it says we need to study it carefully, you know. And I think the word study is used there deliberately, because, you know, it's not just a matter of maybe just like a novel for entertainment. You know, it's like a mine or a minefield, the Bible, that when you read it, there are certain jewels that you get, and you can only get them if you're doing it in a, if you are reading it in a way that is careful, that is systematic, you know? And this relates to the second point, which is point number four, that speaks about studying the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, you know, book by book, because there is also power in the chronology of the Bible. Some Bible scholars say that perhaps some books, you know, depending on what you are reading, you know, they are not, how the books are structured are not the sequence in terms of history.
Okay.
However, to any Bible or an ordinary lay person like myself, when we read either from Genesis to Revelation, we still get to understand what is enough for our salvation, you know. So that in its own, the sequence helps. And I've recently heard, and I've practiced this myself, starting it from the New Testament, because it's easily understandable and palatable. And it's stories as well that, you know, you can get used to. And you can actually know the person Jesus. And quite a number, I'm forgetting the stat, but quite a number of the New Testament is actually taken from the Old Testament, you know. So there you get that exposure as well, you know. So moving on to number five, in terms of the guidelines, it speaks about the fact that study the Bible by subject, you know, and so this is where I guess some misinterpretations come in, you know, when people pick and choose what they want to read and the how to interpret it. So when we read the Bible, we must read and find, and it's easy today with the internet, because you can just type a particular subject and look for the verses, and it goes through the entire Bible, and you can find the consistency when you do so. And that helps as well to understand some of the principles of the Bible.
Right.
Moving on to the second last, which is study the Bible to give power to live for Christ. And I guess this speaks to the why. Why do we read the Bible?
Yes.
You know, it is so that we can live for Christ, and living for Christ is living for others, you know, because what's the point? At the end of the day, and this again is what makes the Bible different from other books, because others, it may be for entertainment, others, it may just be for theoretical knowledge, but the Bible is a book that we live so that it can transform us. So that in the way that we live, we are not just filled with information and insight, but we are better off in knowing God and how to live Christ-like lives than we were when we began. So that's the whole point of it. And I think it's also important to start with this, to say, why am I reading the Bible in the first place? Because I want to know Christ, and I also want to be known by Christ. And I'm reading so that I'm transformed when I'm reading the Bible. So I think that's a very important one. And the last one is listen as God speaks to you through his word, right? Because again, there's another one, because, you know, when you come to read the Bible mainly just maybe for information, then it's just hearing it, you know, there's no transformation. And the Bible, when you read it prayerfully, there is bound to be some sort of conviction, you know. And that's where the Holy Spirit activates. And when it does so, and this is where then that response is required, to listen to God when that conviction comes through. So these are the seven steps that we are given in the lesson to help us as lay people to learn through reading the Bible.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love those. And then as we consider that, as I study the Bible, suppose I come across a principle or something that's confusing or complicated, is there a way that I can gain clarity on these, or as I study using all these principles, can those principles still somehow leave me confused, or will I definitely get clarity if I follow these principles? Is that guaranteed?
So that is the interesting part, and I think it's a good question. That I think for me, the premise is always, God is eternal, so his word is eternal.
Amen.
So we can never get to a point where we exhaust God. You know, and maybe there's also another point could be, That's the reason why there are so many Christian denominations.
Right.
Because our interpretation of it, you'll find someone was hungry and they didn't find what they're looking for here. And
sure.
then they went somewhere else.
Yeah.
And quite a number of us who are Adventists perhaps come from different denominations because we saw that there was something. So meaning that even here, as Adventists, as being known as the church that feeds on the word, what I'm finding, the more I grow, the more I have questions than answers, right? And I don't see that as a bad thing, but I see it as part of growth because when we were younger, we just took what was said to us.
Correct.
And we ran with it. But now that we are older, we are reading for ourselves. And I think that's a good thing because it keeps you curious. It keeps you reading. It keeps you eager to learn and want more. And the good thing, again, coming back to one of the principles, when you do so, when you do the reading prayerfully, that's when God then reveals even more things. And that's why it speaks about the fact that the word of God or the kingdom of God is like a man that finds treasure in the, and he sells everything that he has and he buys this land. And if we truly look at the as treasure, we may not find every answer that we may be looking for, but we'll be left with a feeling of a desire to learn more. And I think that's the whole point. If I don't have the answer, but let me keep searching for it.
I love that. I love that. I feel, you know, based on what you're saying, that maybe we can actually accept that it could be God himself placing those questions in our hearts because he's trying to direct us to something, to because he's ready to reveal something to us in some way. So he plants those questions in our hearts. And if we continue to search the scriptures diligently, prayerfully, daily, the daily part sometimes is the one that becomes a problem because, it's not always easy to be consistent if it's not a part of your life. But I think God places those questions for a reason because he is ready to give you the answer.
Yeah, I love that. I love that a lot because, you know, it reminds me of this thing that's always said sometimes. So, the answer to that question we don't know, we'll ask God when we get to heaven. I think that's a lazy response, you know. So God is not the author of confusion. So I believe that this time I'm convicted in what you're saying or, you know, by what you're saying, that it could be that God plants those questions so that if we are really sincere and genuine around knowing God and finding out, you know, his precious promises and the jewels that he's kept in his word, then he'll plant that desire for us to keep searching.
Yeah. And how many times have you heard this testimony where people talk about how they started searching the scriptures because they wanted to tear down the faith? They wanted to argue with Adventists or they wanted to argue something. They were looking for loopholes in our belief system. They wanted to look for loopholes in scripture and they accidentally ended up getting converted.
100%. And I think tomorrow we'll touch on a similar story to one, you know.
I love every time I hear that, I just chuckle because that's so funny how that happens. So if that can happen to people who are studying for the sake of tearing down the faith, what more are those of us who genuinely actually want to know the truth? Surely God will open our eyes. Yeah?
100%.
Now, speak to us. You keep talking about the word study. You keep mentioning study, 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 study the Bible to receive power, study prayerfully, study by the Bible subject by subject. What is the difference between studying and reading the Bible?
You know, it's a very good question because it's something that helps me to hold myself accountable. So, you know, if you are studying a normal course of study academically, you are given a textbook or you're given some sort of source that you need to go.
Hello, Sanile. Oh, it looks like we lost Sanele there. Let's try and get him back on the line. Not sure what happened. We just got disconnected. All right, so he's talking to us about the difference between studying the Bible and simply reading the Bible. And that's where we got cut off. Sanele, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Sorry, I was still going on the other line.
All right. Sorry, we got cut off there. You were telling us the difference between studying the Bible and simply reading it.
Yes, thanks. So for me, it's something that I use to try and guide myself or guard myself. So so when I think it helps, because maybe most, if not all of us, to a certain extent have gone through school. You know, if you are given a textbook or some source that you need to go through, because you know that at some point there's going to be an assessment, you make sure that you read every corner. Like, even if you read a sentence and it didn't make sense, you read it again. So, you know, you understand what it is. And I think for me, understanding maybe then is the difference. Because when we do that in the academic sphere, because you know you're going to be assessed, that's why you say you are studying. Compared to reading, which may be just going through, again, now I make an example of going through a novel, because that's for entertainment. Yes, it's passive, right? So now when you are studying the Bible, you make sure that even if you read through a verse and you didn't understand it, if someone asked you about it, you know, you wouldn't be able to recite it to them or tell them. Remember when we were younger, we used to be asked, after a story was told to us, then the teacher would say, "So what did you learn from this story?" You know, so for me, I think that's where the difference is. And when you are studying, you make sure that, and I think I love the fact that we are fortunate as the Adventist Church, but even other churches have concordances, because they help us to actually, you know, find other verses. There are commentaries that also help us when you're reading through a text. And what I found fascinating the most are the books of the prophetess Ellen White. You know, I spent almost 2 hours the other day just going through Matthew 11, that speaks about the fact that, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's pages are just about what that verse means that Ellen White has written. And I remember saying to my wife, you know, other people go to the Himalayas to find inner peace. And there are words that she speaks about to say, this is how you find inner peace. And without reading that material by the prophetess, I would have never appreciated that verse as I did. So that's the other fortunate part, to say, when you study the Bible, you go to other sources that help you to understand. And that's the difference between reading passively and studying the Bible.
Beautiful, beautiful. Sure. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share on the subject? And then tomorrow we'll be picking it up again. Final thoughts.
Yeah, thanks. You see, so the verse is Matthew 13, verse 12, where Jesus says, "For whoever has a spirit of wisdom, because he is receptive of God's word, to him more will be given, and he will be richly and abundantly supplied. But whoever does not have spiritual wisdom, because he has devalued God's word, even what he has will be taken away from him." So it comes back to acknowledging that the word of God the Bible is really the word of God. And that we approach it with a spirit of humility, a spirit of saying, "I know nothing." I remember in one of the daily lessons, there was a line where someone said, "I'm not worried about the things I don't know. I'm more worried about the things that I think I know." You know, so for me, that then said, whenever I read, I must read with the intention of having a humble heart and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what God desires me to do. Because these words were spoken to people that found Jesus just relaxing by the sea. And these people were Jews. They were not Gentiles. And yet they devalued God's word. And that's why then Jesus said, it will not be revealed to them. So even us, as the known church to do Bible studies and all these kinds of things, we can be called those people. But if our spirit is not in the right place, the Bible will not have its transforming power in our lives.
Sure. Beautiful, beautiful. And I think that's a that's a good place for us to end. I think food for thought for everybody, especially those who are a part of this church, members of this church. Being a member of the church is not going to save you, and it's not going to be enough. We have to have that personal understanding of the Word of God. Thank you so much, my brother, for coming through, and we'll connect again tomorrow to speak about how the Bible actually can change your life. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Sissy. Be blessed.
All right.
It's time for your afternoon praise on Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.